Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, December 9th, 2015, episode 11.18, the Week 14 preview show. What a week last week. The Panthers remain the lone undefeated team at 12-0. The Patriots lost back-to-back games since the first time since 2012. The Vikings lay an egg and look bad as they lose to the Seattle Seahawks. And DeMarco Murray complains to Eagles owner, even though the Eagles won? What?
What?
And I now have a huge 3-game lead in the challenge game over the fans and an 8-game lead overall. So guess who's coming back? That's right. It's me and Sky Sports News NFL man Richard Graves. He's coming to try and salvage the season for the fans. Lots to talk about. 16 games back on the schedule. Let's chomp it in.
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
Oh, man, people, I cannot believe that the season is almost over. We are heading into Week 14. As such, there is one lone undefeated team out there, the Carolina Panthers. Let's quickly take a look at the remaining schedule for Carolina to see if there's anybody out there, just anyone at all, that might be able to bring down the Panthers and hand them a loss so that the Miami Dolphins of 1972, the Mercury Murises of the world, can pop open the champagne cork and see that they are okay in remaining the only undefeated team in the history of the NFL. This week, Carolina's got the Panthers. I don't think they can get it done. Then they travel to New York to face the Giants. I don't think the Giants can get it done. They come to Atlanta to face the Falcons again, just after facing them two weeks ago. Falcons can't win either of those games. And then they finish out the season at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Literally, I don't see a loss for the Carolina Panthers. I just don't see it happening. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers might give them a run for their money because it's possible that Tampa Bay is playing for a wild card spot in Week 17. And if Carolina and Riverboat Ron decides that he wants to rest some of his players for the playoffs, which I think would be a mistake, by the way, the fact of the matter is that Carolina could, in fact, win the number one seed after this week. They beat the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers or anybody, let's just face it, anyone else in the NFC loses that is leading their division. The Arizona Cardinals were to lose, Green Bay were to lose, and the Panthers get the number one seed. They just lock it down. Two more wins will most likely do that for them. So they take care of business against Atlanta at home and then on the road against the New York Giants. There will be nothing for Carolina to play for. Will Rivera sit his players in those final two games? That's what's going to be the big question. If he decides to play them out, I don't think Carolina will lose a football game. They'll enter the playoffs at 16-0. I think they can do it. I think it can be done. Atlanta twice, the Giants, and Tampa Bay. I don't see a loss in their future. That's what I see. That's just what's there. And I'm not cheering for Carolina to do it or cheering for them not to do it. I just think if they want to go into the playoffs with a perfect 16-0 record, it is there for the taking because they are playing three weaker teams. The Falcons are 6-6, the Giants are 5-7, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-6. They're not playing a team with a winning record. They're 500 or worse. That's what Carolina has in front of them. That's what could give them the edge going into the playoffs. I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals. The way Seattle's played over the last couple weeks, if Green Bay gets healthy and Aaron Rodgers starts playing like himself, maybe one of those teams can knock out the Panthers. But all else, I think the Carolina Panthers will be representing the NFC come Super Bowl time. Neither here nor there. Lots of football still to be played. And because there's 16 games, and you know whenever I bring him on, we get to yapping and yapping. We're just going to go straight to it. I won't even get into the whole DeMarco Murray complaining to Jeff's Eagles owner that he's not getting enough carries, and he is not happy with Chip's offense. Well, dude, if you can't beat out Kenyon Barner to freaking get more carries, that's on you, dude. That's on you. God, I mean, you just won. You won a big game against the Patriots. That's when you're going to complain? Oh, my goodness. All right. It's you know what? Better for me and the teams that I like to support when the Philadelphia Eagles are all in disarray as they are right now. The whole NFC East is in disarray, really. It's pretty crazy that the Dallas Cowboys at 4-8 still have a shot at winning the division. It's true. Check it out. 6-10. I mean, the Redskins, Eagles, and Giants could all lose 3 out of their next 4 and finish at 6-10. And the Cowboys could win 2 out of their last 4 and finish at 6-10. They'd all be sitting there at 6-10. And the Dallas Cowboys, as long as one of those two wins is against the Redskins again, would win the NFC East at 6-10, sitting there with a better division record. They would finish with a division record of 4-2, would have the tiebreakers over Washington, over the Eagles, and over the Giants, because both the Eagles and Giants have already lost 3 within the division. And by beating the Redskins, the Cowboys would hand the Redskins their 3rd loss within the division. And with all of them sitting at 6-10, the Cowboys would win the division by virtue of a better division record. That's how crazy the NFC East is. But you know what? Let's bring them in. All right, people, joining me right now, all the way from across the pond, as they say, big fan and buddy of the show, Richard Graves. What's up, buddy?
Good evening, Steve. How's things? Good to see you. Good to be back on the show again.
Well, welcome back. The fans were clamoring. They were like, we are down 3 games in the challenge game. We're down 9 games overall. We need Richard back on the show.
Well, I don't know about that. I do know that I'm there minding my own business on my way home from work this afternoon, and suddenly the phone goes, Steve Miranda's name appears. Feeling a little bit full of himself, I think. I'm up by however many on the fans. I'm up by 3 in the challenge games. Are you going to come and save them? Bring it. So I was like, well, okay, if that's a challenge laid down, I'm taking it. And here I am.
All right, so here you go. We've spoken briefly off air. We're going to go over all the games. You know we only differ on 3 picks.
Well, hang on. Before we go there,
yeah.
Since you're feeling good about yourself,
yeah,
you're ahead of the family in both games, let me take you back to the last time I was on the show.
Oh, no.
I told you not to pick the Baltimore Ravens.
You did.
For the second time this season, you went Ravens against me. I won with a one-sided Jacksonville Jaguars win on the road. Comprehensive blowout. A week later, I'm there listening again in my car. I am the greatest man alive. I hear nothing. Nada.
I explained why you didn't get that. The league came out and said they made a mistake. There was a crucial error. They should have never allowed the Jacksonville Jaguars to kick that field goal. They were lined off improperly. There should have been a 10-second runoff. That sack would have been, it should have never come into play with the face mask. It's game over. You don't kick a field goal. That's what should have happened. And so you don't get smartest man alive. The refs cheated me out of a win.
And just remind me what the history books say.
Jacksonville won the game.
Boom. Let's have it.
Do you need the smartest? I mean, I played it later on for you.
Right now.
There you go.
I am the smartest man alive.
Right. We can move on.
We can move on. So there you go. We're going to say, I've got two, although you disagree with me. I've got two El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana games. Two really big games. One on Thursday night. One on Sunday. Let's start with the big, big one. El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel to division rival Cincinnati to face the Bengals. What do you see, Gravesy?
I see a Cincinnati Bengals win. I mean, this is a great rivalry. AFC North, it's always a classic when these two teams lock horns together. But the Bengals, 10-2 record, they seem to have it this season. I'm beginning to become a believer in Andy Dalton as a quarterback. He's never won a postseason game. I think this is the year that that's going to change. On offense, the Bengals look good. Defensively, they're tight. And they've got weapons and playmakers to break out games.
You do know what you're saying right now. Cincinnati will have, A, swept the Pittsburgh Steelers, and with only three games left, will, in effect, clinched the division. With a win, they win the division.
And I think it happens this Sunday in this game. The Cincinnati Bengals are the cream of the AFC North.
Wow. You know what? I'm actually going to take it a step further. I think the Cincinnati Bengals are the cream of the AFC, period. Full stop. They had their two little downfall games back-to-back where they lost to Houston. And then the following week, they laid an egg against, I don't know, who'd they lose to? Arizona? I don't even know who their second loss. Who was their second loss?
It was Cardinals. Cardinals on the
Arizona, road. Right? Yeah. So back-to-back losses there. I think they've kind of fixed the ship, whatever was there. That one loss to Houston was kind of like some crazy anomaly on Monday night where Houston was all over Andy Dalton and they just never looked sharp. Since then, they've turned it around. 10-2. I think they are making a statement to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who in the past have been the owner of this division, to say, you know what? There's a new sheriff in town. You no longer own this division. It is ours. It belongs to us. You got to come through us. And it ends here with 3 weeks left. We are the champs.
Well, as I say, I like the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they are the best team in the AFC North. But I'm going to hold the check on the best team in the AFC. And that is because of what you just said. The Houston Texans went to Cincinnati and they beat them. Now, who has the best defense in the NFL, for my opinion? It's the Denver Broncos in the NFC. Right now, if the playoffs were today, the Broncos are the 2 seed, the Bengals are the 1 seed. But I think come postseason playoff time, if these two meet, the Denver Broncos and their number 1 ranked defense would have something in the locker. Wade Phillips would come up with something, their defensive coordinator. I give them the edge over the Bengals.
Bengals, baby. This is the year. Andy Dalton's going to take that step. This is the year they win. Not only win one game in the playoffs, not only win two games in the playoffs, I think the Bengals have the potential to be the representative of the AFC in the Super Bowl. I like the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's a bold statement. Time will tell. As it is right now, the Broncos aren't involved in this matchup. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I hear everybody going crazy about Big Ben Roethlisberger, his wide receiver Antonio Brown, his wide receiver Martavis Bryant. Yeah, they look good on offense, but as the Seahawks showed just a couple of weeks ago, they are not that good on defense. There are holes to be picked in that secondary. And you look at the Bengals, it's a mismatch. You've got AJ Green wide out. You've got Tyler Eifert, who's been back at practice today and looks good to go for me this weekend. And you've got a two-headed monster in the backfield as well. And you've got Andy Dalton, who's on fire right now. I think they're going to have too much for the Steelers to handle in this game.
All right. We both like the Cincinnati Bengals taking care of business and mark it up here with a win. The Bengals will win the AFC North and become the first team in the AFC to notch up a playoff spot. All right, we'll move on to the second El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. The Minnesota Vikings travel to Arizona, look to bounce back on Thursday night football against the Cardinals. Can they do it, Richard?
No, they cannot. The Minnesota Vikings laid a huge egg at home on Sunday against the Seahawks. Going into that game, I had the Vikings to win it. I thought it was a straight shootout between the rookie Thomas Rawls and the experienced veteran, the NFL's leading rusher, Adrian Peterson, and the Seahawks shut AP down all day. Was non-existent on Sunday. It was Thomas Rawls who ran the show. He had 16 fantasy points if you had him in your team. I did. I was delighted. But my, wow, I tell you what, the play calling, you heard Adrian Peterson say after the game, flat out, we were out-coached as a team. He called out his own coaching staff. And he was right. North Turner, who's one of the most experienced offensive coordinators, he's been a head coach in the NFL, he knows what he's doing. The Vikings fell down 7-0, and all of a sudden, he put the ball in Teddy Bridgewater's hands.
Yeah, you...
Bridgewater isn't made for that. Adrian Peterson had 8 carries on the day. 8 carries!
Yeah, and that's not acceptable. I usually don't like players calling out their head coaches after football games. That's, you know, that's really not good. You shouldn't do that. But I have to agree, 8 carries to the guy who is leading the league in rushing and dominating, that's just not acceptable. It's not acceptable when you're only down 7 points. It's not even acceptable when you're down 14 points. Yeah, later on in the game, that game got away from them. But in that first half, you should have handed Adrian Peterson the rock more. They didn't do that, and they thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed in what I saw from Minnesota. Now they're back in a tie with the Green Bay Packers in that division. They could have taken control, but instead they fall to 8-4. But this game is big. 8-4 Minnesota. Arizona Cardinals at 10-2. It could go a long way in deciding what happens in the playoffs. I would like to pick Minnesota. But the fact that it's a short week and it's in Arizona, they have to travel. I just don't think – I think it's too much for them to handle. Arizona's playing solid football, especially at home. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well.
And you know what? This is the second time this season the Minnesota Vikings have led the NFC North, and the second time when they've had an opportunity to take control of that division, they have laid an egg. They did it at home to the Green Bay Packers and lost the lead, and then they did it last week as well when they had a chance to do something against the Seahawks. And now you're talking about a short turnaround, just 4 days. You're going on the road into the desert, into the backyard of the Arizona Cardinals, the NFC West leading Arizona Cardinals, with the number one ranked offense in the league, the number one ranked scoring offense in the league. They've got Larry Fitzgerald, who's just gone past 1,000 career receptions as well. I do not see a way that the Minnesota Vikings get the job done in Arizona. I agree with you. I think this is a home win.
All right, so back-to-back home teams. We agree on both of them. Those are the big games. Thursday Night Football. Moving on to games of the week. The lone undefeated team, the Carolina Panthers, sitting at 12-0, looking hot. 7.5-point favorite over the Atlanta Falcons, who all of a sudden are in a free fall. They are spiraling out of control, looking helpless. How in the world did they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week? I don't know. Who do you got?
I'll tell you how they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their quarterback, Matt Ryan, again was careless with the ball. He's now thrown 9 interceptions in their last 6 games. Oof. They've lost 6 of their last 7 games. That's why they've suddenly got a 6-6 record. It's tough to believe that both these teams set out this season at 5-0, and you look at the different directions that they've gone in, and now you start to hear grumbles from inside the Atlanta Falcons camp. Julio Jones has gone 4 games without scoring a touchdown, and he started complaining about what's going on, asking what the offensive game plan is. None of this, if you're part of the Atlanta Falcons organization, makes you feel good. And now you go to the division champions, the NFC South leading Carolina Panthers, to a 12-0.
And not NFC leading. They've already clinched their playoff spot. They've already clinched the NFC South. They are the South champions already. At 12-0, they could right now, if they wanted to, shut it down. Shut everybody down. Have everybody rest for the playoffs if they wanted to, because they already have the division in their back pocket. And with, I think their magic number right now is 2. They win 2 out of the last 4, and they are locked into the number 1 seed. There's nothing anyone else could do about it. They're not losing this game. The Atlanta Falcons don't have what it takes to go on the road. If this were in Atlanta, there might be a chance if they played a perfect game. They're not going into Carolina on the road and taking and knocking the undefeated Carolina Panthers out. Possibly if Carolina kind of starts the game like they did last week against New Orleans. It looked like Carolina went into that game against New Orleans and they were kind of lackadaisical. They weren't really all focused. They were like, hey, we're already the champs because Atlanta lost. We're not feeling like we want to play. And, hey, we're down 14-0. And they kicked it up a notch and found a way to win that football game. If they do that to Atlanta, maybe Atlanta can build up enough momentum to win a game. But that's not going to happen. They had their scare. Carolina had their scare last week. I think they want to stay perfect, and they will take it to the Atlanta Falcons.
And that win for the Panthers in New Orleans was huge. Fine, yes, they'd already wrapped up the NFC South title, but one of the question marks surrounding this Carolina team that really had still to be answered was if they fall behind by a couple of scores, do they have it within their offense to rally and score points? And you know what? They scored 41 of those. And you've got to hand it to Cam Newton. A month and a half ago, I was saying this guy is an NFL MVP candidate. And at the time, people were saying, well, what about Aaron Rodgers? What about Tom Brady? Well, what about Cam Newton? Who has he got to throw the ball to?
Ted Ginn Jr.
Jericho
Cottry.
Did you see that fourth quarter drop by Ted Ginn Jr.?
That was
awful. Right there in his hands. He's got open grass ahead into the end zone, and it just went straight through them.
That was awful. That was an awful drop. I'm a little upset with Carolina, and I'll tell you why. I was in Vegas this past weekend. I had a five-team parlay card, and I got all the morning games. I was looking nice. I had three morning games and two afternoon games. I got the morning games, feeling good about myself. Things are looking good. My afternoon games, Kansas City -3 against Oakland and Carolina -6 against New Orleans. And I'm like, yeah, baby, I got it in the bag. Now, we're having a good time in Las Vegas and Kansas City's taking care of business. That game goes final. I look at the score for a second and it's 27-16, Carolina. And I'm like, it's good. It's good. It's in the bag. Let's go. Let's go. And we decided to go somewhere. We were going to go to a different hotel for dinner. And we get to the hotel, the Wynn in Las Vegas. We get there. We get out. And we walk by the sports book. And I look at the score. And they're losing. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Time out. What's going on here? This is the freaking Saints. You're killing me. We sat there and watched the last 8 minutes of that football game. And I was like, how are they going to – I don't see the end game. I don't see how they can win by six points. How is this possible? Why are they not destroying the New Orleans Saints like they've been destroying everybody else? They wind up, of course, only winning by 3 points. They don't cover the spread. And there goes my five-team parlay card, which was going to be perfect. Crash. And that cost me – on a $50 bet, I was getting ready to win $1,600. Boom. Crash. Blown up. Done.
Okay, just calm down, Steve. The folks listening can't see you right now. I can. Are there paramedics in the vicinity? Guys, he's gone red in his face. This still hurts.
I was literally like, this is the best five-team parlay card.
Breathe for me, Steve.
I'm breathing. Hold on. Whew. All right, I've calmed down. Thank you very much for your concern.
With us. You're
thank
right.
you. Yeah, thank you for the concern there. I just couldn't believe it. I thought
I
that, man, I was like, you know, we were like, woo, we're going to party tonight. It's going to be nice. But there you go. So there you go.
I have to go down in the Rave Cave talking to me again.
Yeah, here we go. I'm here. So, the Carolina Panthers, we both got them taking care of business against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll move on to a game that you believe is the biggest game of the week. In a win or go home scenario, the Buffalo Bills travel just slightly down the road to face the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. The Buffalo Bills are actually favored by 1.5 on the road. Philly's not getting a lot of love there, even though they just knocked off the New England Patriots. What do you see there?
Yeah, I don't know that I think it's the biggest game of the week. I certainly think it's a huge game. When you told me before we went on air and started recording, the Cardinals versus the Vikings was one of your big games of the week, I'm down on the Vikings. I was really disappointed with them Sunday. And maybe I'm doing them an injustice, but I can see from the records why you'd have them there. Now, this game, the records are nowhere near as impressive as what you have between the Arizona Cardinals and Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
But I tell you, the result of this game, for me, determines the course of the rest of the season for these two teams. You've got the Philadelphia Eagles, who got a creditable win in New England at the weekend. I know a few people over here that say they were impressive. When you score 21 of your points through defensive interception returns and special teams plays, I'm sorry, I'm not buying that, because that is not going to happen week in, week out.
Correct.
Now, the Buffalo Bills, on the other hand, I've seen signs of life from them. In their last five games, they're 3-2. They've got LeSean McCoy healthy again, wide receiver Sammy Watkins, Tyrod Taylor's playing well. And you know who those two defeats came against? They came on the road to a healthy New England Patriots team, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, and also on the road to the red-hot Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Buffalo Bills are the all-round better unit on both sides of the ball. I see signs of discontent in Philadelphia. DeMarco Murray going to the owner, Jeff Lurie, and complaining, why did I only get X amount of carries? I think it was 8 or maybe 9 at a push.
Kenyon Barner, baby. Kenyon Barner.
Exactly. Who? Who?
Well, I know because I follow the Pac-12. He's an Oregon Duck, so I know who Kenyon Barner is, but most people don't. So
I see the Buffalo Bills going into the link, and you are going to hear boos and boos by the thousands on the Philadelphia Eagles side of the ball.
Especially as soon as LeSean McCoy breaks off a 75-yard touchdown run, they're going to be like, why did we let that guy go? Why did we let that guy go? As a matter of fact, I am going to play daily fantasy football this 1 week, and I'm going to make sure that LeSean McCoy is on my roster because he is going to tear it up. He's going to play, Coach, I don't usually ask you to give me the football, but I am going to ask you to give me the football in this game, and I will not disappoint you.
And I tell you what, Rex Ryan is going to feed him the ball. It was great today in front of the media. LeSean McCoy comes out and says, I do not want to make this game about me. Well, publicly, he might not want to make this game about him, but you better believe he still bears a grudge against Chip Kelly and the Eagles for trading him during the offseason. And Rex Ryan would love nothing more than to see LeSean McCoy, the guy he acquired, go into the link and run riot against that Eagles defense.
Yeah. I hear you. I like Buffalo in this game as well. I think offensively they've got more weapons than the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care what Philadelphia did last week. They got a very nice block return for a touchdown. They got a Darren Sproles punt return for a touchdown. And then that inconceivable 99-yard INT return for a touchdown. Take those 21 points away, and guess what? They lose 28-14.
And you know what? They're up 21 points in the fourth quarter against a Patriots side who have no Deion Lewis in the backfield.
Exactly.
No Julian Edelman, no Rob Gronkowski.
And
took Tom Brady is driving in the final minute to tie the game.
It took a 4th and 10 heck of a hit to jar the bar loose on 4th and 10 to save that game for them. That is what I'm talking about. I like Buffalo. I think Philadelphia's done. They're playing for next year. I'm going to say this, and people are going to say, oh, that's just the Homer and Steven talking. But this is not the Homer and Steven talking. I would put money that the Dallas Cowboys at 4-8 have a better shot of getting into the playoffs than the 5-7 Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow. That's a bold call after what I saw on Monday Night Football this week. That is a bold call. I'm not so sure I'd put any of my hard-earned money on anyone in the NFC East. You want to go and throw your money around, be my guest.
I'm telling you, I would put – if you just look at the Eagles – here, let's play this game, shall we? Let's play this game for a second. Let's look at the Eagles' remaining schedule, okay? They've got the Buffalo Bills this week.
We both agree they lose that game.
Yes, we both agree that one's a loss. Then they have the Arizona Cardinals.
That's a loss.
Okay, we agree on that one. Then they've got the Washington Redskins.
Where?
In Philly.
They might win that one.
Okay, they might win that one. And then they finish on the road in New York against the Giants.
That's a massive game. Oh, I wouldn't like to call it. That's a pick'em game.
So, we're just saying that that's 2-2, possibly 1-3.
No better than 500.
No better than 500. Okay. Let's be generous and let's say 2-2. So that means can the Cowboys go 3-1 in their final four games? That's what we're banking on.
Well, I tell you, if they go 3-1, and that includes a win over the Washington Redskins,
yeah,
then by virtue of the tiebreaker in the NFC East,
they would go to the playoffs over the
Philadelphia.
Yeah, there you go.
But I don't see Dallas going 3-1.
Yes, man, you're killing me right now. You're killing me. You are taking you. You know what? I'm going to get you. You, as a matter of fact, you cannot wear any cowboy gear this whole week, okay? Because you're giving us bad negative juju. It's people like you and my brother and my sister that are just all with the negativity. You got to get all that negativity and you got to throw it out. You got to throw it out and get the bad juju that you guys are putting on the Cowboys. Take it away. I ban you. As a matter of fact, we're going to get to that game here in a minute. If you do not pick the Dallas Cowboys, I am banning you from wearing any gear or supporting the Dallas Cowboys this week. And you see me pointing. You see me pointing the camera. You see me pointing to the camera. Oh man, you're getting me riled up.
Breathe.
So we both got Buffalo.
We both got Buffalo.
Moving on to Monday Night Football, where the Miami Dolphins play host to the New York Giants. The Giants, who once again have a 10-point lead with 5 minutes left in the game, and they choke it away. The Jets tie the game. They go to overtime. The Jets march down, kick a field goal, and then what in the world is Odell Beckham Jr. doing kicking a football? He redeems himself by getting the first down later on, but then they miss the field goal. They shanked it. And they lose overtime.
Let's talk about Tom Coughlin's decision to go for it on fourth down when you already have a lead.
Yeah.
You know, in regulation. Now, if it comes off, everybody says great. But we've seen the New York Giants time and time again make bad decisions in that final quarter of games this season. And for me, that was another big decision that they got it wrong. You know, you back your defense. The New York Jets had hardly moved the ball in the whole game. And to not put it on the shoulders of your defense says two things to me. One, you're desperate, and I mean desperate, to get the win. You're willing to risk it all. But perhaps more importantly, it says to me you don't have confidence in your defense to shut down the game. And everybody can say, well, whoa, 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 Richard. They had the lead and put it on the shoulders of their defense against the New England Patriots a few weeks back. Well, let me tell you, the New York Jets are not the New England Patriots as they were that night.
Right.
And once again, the outcome goes bad for the New York Giants. Once again, they have a chance to take a grip and control of the NFC East. And now they're involved in the thick of this mess for the NFC East title. And I'll say it again, if anybody can tell me who wins this division, you're a better person than me. Because there's been nothing that's been predictable about this division all season.
Let's look at this one for a second. They're on the road Monday Night Football this week against Miami, the game we're talking about right now. They host Carolina. They'll probably be undefeated at 13-0, looking for one more win to get their number one seed. Then they have to go to Minnesota to play the Vikings, who will be right there in the middle of the playoff.
And the Vikings are going to pound that ball, and the New York Giants have an atrocious run defense.
And then they end against the Philadelphia Eagles. I say I'm looking at 2-2 again.
Well,
you know what? I have hope. I'm getting more. As I'm talking to you, Richard, I am getting more hope, more and more hope that 7-9. Yeah, I know it's 7-9, and it's not a winning record. 7-9 will win the division. And you know what? Who could be at 7-9 at the end of the season?
It's not the Dallas Cowboys.
It could be the Dallas Cowboys. Why not the Dallas Cowboys? Why not?
Because they've only won 2 of their last 10 games, and now you're wanting them to win Well, if you include the Washington Redskins victory the other night, you're saying they're winning four of their final five games.
That's what they're doing. Tony Romo. That's what they're doing, baby. That's what they're doing. Because they have to do it. They have to do it. It's going to happen, man. You know what? It's going to happen. And I am going to take so much joy. I'm going to take so much joy and so much pleasure in just going around and talking to everybody who's telling me, oh, you're just a homer, you're just crazy. When it happens, I'm going to be there talking to everybody. I'm going to call you up in the middle of the night. I'm going to call you up and be like, Richard, what did I do? It's going to be week 17. We will have just defeated the Redskins to win the division and sneak in at 7-9. I'm going to be like, what did I tell you, man? What did I tell you? It's going to be a beautiful thing.
I've got to tell you, I love the loyalty. I love the enthusiasm. And the guys listening will be like, wow, Steve bleeds blue and silver no matter what. Well, let me burst that bubble as well, because I can tell you we weren't even through the first quarter on Monday night when I get a text on my phone. Stephen Miranda says, that's it. I'm done. I'm turning this thing off.
I was tired of seeing field goals, okay? I was tired of seeing field goals. But I got through it. I got through it.
Walk out on your team right there.
I was pretty close. I was pretty close. Had we lost,
they're running the schedule.
Had we lost to the Redskins, I was going to be out. I was out, but we didn't. They showed me that with nothing, and a horrible performance of getting stuck inside the five-yard line time and time again, they still were able to pull that game out on the road, hostile territory against the arch nemesis Washington Redskins. That game right there, that win, is a game changer. It is a game that galvanizes a team and gets the team to start believing in each other and saying, hey, we can win without Tony Romo. And if we get to the playoffs, we get Tony Romo back. That is something that is going to galvanize this football team. And you watch. You mark my words now. We're going to get to that game in a minute. I might take Dallas to beat the Green Bay Packers this week.
I'd like to apologize to the folks again listening, because believe it or not, we are talking about the New York Giants.
Sorry. Giants at Miami. So who do you got? Tell me who you got.
I've got the Giants.
No.
I'm taking
after
the
what
New York
you just saw?
Giants.
And Lamar Miller's going to run the football and kill him?
This
Lamar
is
Miller, 110 yards plus rushing.
I will tell you this. The Miami Dolphins are going to get back to the run game this Monday night. And if they can feed Lamar Miller and create some lanes and get him pounding the ball, then that spells disaster for the New York Giants. It's going to be a long night. The problem is, neither have the Miami Dolphins been consistent in running the ball, or have they had an awful lot of success in running the ball. They had that one huge game against the Houston Texans where Miller had a career day, and that was everybody saying his coming out game. This is what he was drafted for. But since then, he's had hardly anything. The Miami Dolphins are such a Jekyll and Hyde side, so inconsistent. They only beat the Baltimore Ravens by 2 points at home this last weekend. And the Ravens have got nobody.
Wait, what do you say? What do you say? What does the record show? That was a win.
The record shows
it was a win.
That the Dolphins won the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, this comes down to who wants it more. Then who has got the bigger playmaker?
Make it the
and
challenge
that's
game
the New York
right now.
With
Monday Night Football. Make it the challenge game right now. I'm taking the Dolphins. Ooh, man,
I want to hear the rest of your picks.
I'm taking the Dolphins against you again.
Can I remind you that I'm 2-0 in the challenge games?
You know what? You are 1-0 with an asterisk.
So it's 2-0.
That asterisk says that the refs came out, and you know Blandino came out the next day. It's like, yeah, we missed that one. We missed that
Blandino
one.
Blandino came out the next day after the Cowboys beat the Lions in the playoffs this year and said that was a mistake too, but the Cowboys still win it in the record books.
Why you got to bring that game up, man? Why?
We'll move on.
We'll move on. So I've got Miami. You've got the Giants. We'll move on to Houston, where the Houston Texans are hosting the New England Patriots on Sunday Night Football. The Patriots, for the first time in, I can't even tell you how long, back to coming off back-to-back losses.
12, They've lost back-to-back football games.
You got to go all the way to 2012. Back-to-back football games that they have lost. Can they lose a third one?
I can't see it. I cannot see it. I know that offensively they're short. They've got no Julian Edelman. There was a lot of optimism a few days ago that Rob Gronkowski will be back for this game. He sat out practice again today.
Yeah,
he's not going to be playing this Sunday. But as well as the Houston Texans defense has played of late, I cannot see a Bill Belichick side losing three straight games. They've still got Tom Brady at quarterback, and as long as he's on the field, they have a chance to move the ball.
The thing that gets me is that the Patriots are only favored by a field goal. When's the last time New England was only favored by anything less than 6 points or more?
I hear you, but as much as everyone likes to talk about J.J. Watt and this Houston Texans defense, how about we give some love to that New England Patriots defense? They're the third-ranked unit overall. They rank second in scoring this season. Sorry, that's their offense that ranks second in scoring, despite having lost players in recent weeks. This is a well-rounded team, and I just don't see Brian Hoyer being able to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady when you know this Patriots defense are going to get after him. They're going to force mistakes. That, you know, everyone at the start of the season, me included, said, wow, you've lost your two starting corners. No Brandon Browner, no Darrell Revis. You can't put the cornerbacks on an island. Well, Bill Belichick has come up with a new form secondary, and they've done that and then some. I go back to this third-ranked defensive unit. It's going to be too good, too hot for Brian Hoyer and the Texans offense to handle.
I would love to take the Houston Texans, especially at home. I just don't see it happening. I don't see you don't see the New England Patriots lose three games in a row. That just doesn't happen. They'll find a way. Somehow, some way, they will find a way. If they don't find a way, then it's time to hit the panic button in New England, because the next man up philosophy is probably not working anymore. They're at a point where, hey, that's okay. Amendola goes on, that's all right. Edelman goes down, that's okay. Gronkowski goes down. Chandler, come on, get up. You know, Deion Lewis, we'll give the ball to LeGarrette Blount. It's starting to catch up to them, all of the bodies that they are losing. If they can't beat the Houston Texans on the road, it may be time to hit the panic button. I'll stick with them for one more game. I'm taking the Patriots too.
I'll give you one more reason why you should stick with the New England Patriots. That defensive front has got 36 sacks this season. There's only one team that has had more sacks than the New England Patriots, and that's the number one ranked Denver Broncos. That's how much improved this Patriots defensive unit is. It'll do the job in Houston.
I'll tell you what, I'll take New England. I'll take New England.
If you take the Houston Texans, I'll make that the challenge game right now.
That's quite all right. That's good. I will tell you what, though, it is a game, Sunday Night Football, where I'm not very pumped to stay up and watch it. Will you stay up and watch it?
I will not stay up and watch it. I agree with you, I see why NBC took this game, because they have to give a couple of weeks' notice to the league when they want to change a game. And the Houston Texans were on a four-game winning streak when they made the game. The New England Patriots had just lost their first game. Now, a week further on, it doesn't look so good.
Yeah, it's not that good. And how in the world did the Texans? They're 6-6. I mean, for all the smack that everybody's talking about the NFC East, look at the South, man.
The South is just as bad. I'm not going to take that away. But I say just as bad. The NFC South doesn't have all four teams with a losing record.
Okay, 6-6 is
better than 5-7.
Okay. By theoretically, yes. By one game, it is better than 5-7. But this late in the season, 6-6 for me is the same as 5-7.
Well, you'd be wrong.
It's the same, man.
It really isn't. They've got one more win than a 5-7 team.
Fine. One whole win. We both have New England. We'll take the final game of the week. The Oakland Raiders travel to Denver to face the Denver Broncos. Denver's favored by 7.5 points. Denver's pretty much getting ready to stick a nail in the coffin and win this division, right?
Yeah, I don't know that Denver cover that spread, because Denver are doing just enough without ever really looking in danger with Brock Osweiler at quarterback. But Denver win this game.
Yeah, it could be 17-3 like last week against San Diego. I mean, they didn't really have to do a whole heck of a lot on offense to beat the Chargers. Not very good. But I think the Denver Broncos take care of business. And can we just, yo, Oakland Raider fans, calm down just a little bit. It's 5-7 now. Y'all were like, oh, Derek Carr's the man. And Derek Carr, look, Derek Carr's a good quarterback. I like him. But it's going to take some time. You guys aren't ready for prime time just yet.
They're getting there, though. Mark my words, this time next year, they will be making a run for the playoffs, and they will be contenders in the AFC West. Derek Carr has progressed beyond all recognition in the last 12 months. In Amari Cooper at wide receiver, I think he's got a phenomenal talent that's going to be there with him for a long time. They've got something to work with in the backfield with Latavius Murray. And I tell you something else as well. For how quickly the San Francisco 49ers were prepared to let Michael Crabtree walk, he has been the standout wide receiver in the past month for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, they've
got things to work with in offense there.
I just don't think there was ever a quarterback that got Crabtree the ball and was right there with Crabtree. He and Derek Carr have made a bond. He's playing really good football. But, yeah, you're right. San Francisco kind of pretty much just blew up the whole team.
I think if you're looking at the Raiders, come the draft next April, you've got to be looking to improve the defensive side of the ball. You saw it last week in the fourth quarter when they fell apart against the Kansas City Chiefs. Far too many missed tackles, not enough pressure on Smith, the quarterback. And I think that really summed up in a microcosm the problems that the Oakland Raiders still have. They're an improving team. I'm looking forward to seeing how they progress in the next 12 months. I do really believe that they will be there challenging. It's just too soon right now. And especially when you come up against the Denver Broncos. I've already said it several times this evening. The number one ranked defense in the NFL. They're second in points allowed. They're only conceding 17.5 points a game. And they lead the league in sacks. They have 41 sacks. That's 5 more than any other team in the NFL. And just to add insult to injury for the Raiders, linebacker DeMarcus Ware should be back on that field this weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. I tell you what, the Denver Broncos are looking for a win, and they hope that the Kansas City Chiefs lose one more. That would pretty much give them the AFC West. We both have Denver in that game. We'll move on to games of interest. We'll start in Green Bay, where the Green Bay Packers will host the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying anything. I'll let you say whatever it is you want to say. But you should know that it took a freaking Hail Mary pass for the Green Bay Packers to beat Detroit.
And what's your point?
My point is I think the Dallas Cowboys are a better football team than the Detroit Lions right now.
Really?
Yep.
I'm not going to agree with you on that.
You need to agree with me. The Dallas Cowboys defense, for as bad as the offense has looked for the Dallas Cowboys with Matt Castle at the helm, that defense has kept them in games, and they will keep them in this football game. Green Bay favored by 7, please. I am putting that on my card this week. If Green Bay beats the Dallas Cowboys by 7, I will send you a Christmas present. That is what I will do.
Wow. Putting his hand in his pocket.
I would say, exactly. There is no way that they lose.
Right.
It's going to be it'll be another late field goal by either one of these teams to win this football game. Mark my words.
Let's get serious. Last season, by general consensus, the Dallas Cowboys had the best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
That offensive line has changed by one man, Lyle Collins, who everybody felt really was a first-round pick this year, but for reasons outside of football, he slid right out of the draft, became a free agent. Great acquisition. Everyone agrees that strengthened the Cowboys' line. That Cowboys' line has underperformed this year and not played as well as he did 12 months ago. Without Tony Romo for a large chunk of the season, without Dez Bryant with that foot injury, this offensive unit ranks 27th in the NFL. They are averaging 18 points a game. Do you know what that means? That means that the Cleveland Browns, St. Louis Rams, and San Francisco 49ers are the only three teams to have scored fewer points than the Dallas Cowboys. I don't care whichever way you dress this up, however you want to dress up the Cowboys' defense. Yes, they had a good game the other night in Washington, but they have, I think it's now a minus 15 turnover differential. Minus 14.
And they still won the football game at minus three.
That is the worst turnover differential in the NFL. They cannot take the ball away on defense. They cannot score points on offense. There is no way the Dallas Cowboys go to Lambeau Field and beat the Green Bay Packers.
Well, I disagree with you. I think there's a lot of way. The Green Bay Packers are not the Green Bay Packers from last season. They are struggling on the offense. As a matter of fact, the Green Bay Packers over the last several weeks have struggled just as much as the Dallas Cowboys have struggled on the offensive side of the ball. They can't run the football. They don't have anyone running the football. Aaron Rodgers is a shell of Aaron Rodgers right now. We're looking at discount double check Aaron Rodgers. We're not looking at the real Aaron Rodgers, okay? He's not throwing the football very well. And his receivers, mind you, have all disappeared. Even freaking Randall Cobb and James Jones, who were tearing it up at the beginning of the season, have all disappeared. This is not the same football team right now. And I think if they get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, which this Dallas Cowboys defense can do, especially with the way Gregory has been playing of late, Lawrence has been playing, and Greg Hardy, I know the guy that nobody wants to talk about, these three guys are putting pressure on the quarterback. They will get to Aaron Rodgers. They will keep this game close. And I, right now, as far as many kicks that kickers are missing, the Dallas Cowboys have the best kicker in the world. He is clutch. It's going to be a field goal game again. Yes, you're going to have to be on the edge of your seat. You're going to have to be biting your nails. You're going to have to be pulling out your hair. But at the end of the game, a Dan Bailey field goal will beat the Green Bay Packers. You heard it here first. Just remember that.
Who do you think right now is the best offensive player for Dallas?
Dez Bryant.
It's not. It's Dan freaking Bailey. Well, the 19 points they
scored. He's not an offensive player. He's a special teams player.
That is my point. He scored 13 points to their 19 on Monday night.
Here's the thing.
They have no offensive production outside of him.
Here's the other thing, my friend. That touch pass that Castle threw to Dez Bryant at the end of that game to set them up for there at the inside the 5-yard line, I hope that Jason Garrett and Linehan and anyone else involved with the offense see that play and grow a big hairy set of cojones and say, you know what, at least once a series, we are going to throw the ball deep to Dez Bryant. I'll tell you why. Even if it's not complete, it will loosen up the defense, and your offensive line that you're complaining about will be better to block for DeMarco Murray. Darren McFadden. Look, it doesn't take a super genius right now to say, you know what, you're not throwing it deep, so we're going to put eight guys in a box. You're not going to beat us running. We're going to make Matt Castle throw the football. That is what everybody and their dog is doing. That is what I would do. I would force Dallas to throw the football, and Dallas does not want to do that. That is why the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is struggling to block for the run, because there is no running lanes. There is absolutely no running lanes right now. Nobody is afraid of Matt Castle. Why? Because they've got the chains on him. Throw the ball deep. Once a series. If I were Jason Garrett, I say, Linehan, I don't care if he throws a 50-yard interception. Throw it deep once a series to Dez. That'll loosen up the running game, and you'll see better run production from McFadden.
I tell you now, if you put the ball in the game in the hands of Matt Castle, Dallas flat out lose and lose big. Because for every beautiful deep ball to Dez Bryant that you saw on Monday night, he throws a couple of slant routes that are a foot behind the receiver.
I'm not asking you to have him throw slant routes.
He throws a short pass that is a foot behind Cole Beasley. And quite frankly,
yeah, that should have been a touchdown,
before Deshaun Jackson went insane trying to return that punt. It should have been picked off and taken the other way, the length of the field. That is not the way forward. I just do not see a scenario whereby Dallas winning Green Bay.
All right. I hear you. I got the Dallas Cowboys. You cannot make this the challenge game, though. Because
I will listen to the remainder of your picks.
You cannot make this a challenge. I will veto it. I have the authority to veto a challenge game. I will veto it. I'm telling
Since
you now.
When did you have the authority to veto a challenge game that you couldn't choose?
You know what? Because you've listened to the show long enough that we had a veto. There's a veto. I will veto
it. Are you really that fearful of going down?
I'm not. You know what? I've said it before. I said it weeks ago. I'm going down with the ship. As a matter of fact, I had a fan pick. They picked Miami. I picked Dallas, and I said that week, I'm picking Dallas, and if you want to make that the challenge game, go for it, because I am going down with the ship. I'm going down with the ship, okay? If the Dallas Cowboys go down, which I don't believe they're going to, I think they're going to rise up. They're going to meet the challenge just like they did in Washington. If you want to make that, and you know what? Go ahead and make it, because you, as a Cowboy fan yourself, if this is the challenge game and they find a way to win in Green Bay and beat the Packers, I will – dude, you won't get me off the phone. As a matter of fact, you'll have to turn off your phone because I'll be texting so much. Go ahead.
I'm telling you right now, I don't care what the rest of your picks are, I'm taking the Green Bay Packers in the challenge game.
You cannot. I vetoed it.
That's you said I could take it. I've taken it.
I don't know. Now, how about let's listen to the rest of the picks, see if there's anything
else.
Okay,
we'll listen to the rest of the picks.
Indianapolis travels to Jacksonville to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. This game is big in the AFC South. Jags just two games back of both the Colts and the Texans. Who you got, man?
I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars in this game. And
what?
For me, it's a real pick'em, but I will tell you why. Even though Matt Hasselbeck practiced in full today, I'm reliably informed, he gritted it out. He will at best be questionable for the game on the final injury report on Friday evening. And if he can't go, do you know who the next man up is for the Indianapolis Colts? Charlie Whitehurst. I don't care who you are. Blake Bortles has proven he can score enough points with this offense. Even this porous Jaguars defense is not going to give up that many points to Charlie Whitehurst. I'm taking the Jags.
All right, take the Jags. I just, you know what, there's something about the Jacksonville Jaguars that they just don't know how to finish games. And it doesn't matter who they're playing. It doesn't matter if they're playing a really, really good opponent or if they're playing a really, really bad opponent. They do not know how to finish a football game. And I like Indianapolis. I think the talent around the quarterback position is such where they will find a way to, whether it's Hasselbeck or whether it's Whitehurst, find a way to get it done. They know what's at stake here. They know it's important to get this win, and they'll take it to Jacksonville.
Well, I'll take you back to the first meeting of the season between these two. And Jason Myers had two opportunities to win the game, one at the end of regulation, one in overtime. He missed both field goals for the Jaguars in Indianapolis, and that was with Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback. I think with home field advantage, especially if it's Charlie Whitehurst quarterback in the Colts, the Jags get this one done. And if they do, they're right back in the thick of this race for the AFC South.
I'm going to, you know, beat a dead horse in the ground. What is it that you said? At the end of the day, Indianapolis 16, Jacksonville 13. That's a win for Jacksonville. So I don't care how they won, if they needed a Jacksonville kicker to miss 5, 6, 7 field goals. I don't care. They won the football game, and that's what I'm telling you. Jacksonville does not know how to finish. They're not going to find a way to finish a division game. Plus, Indianapolis owns Jacksonville. As a matter of fact, when the season starts for Indianapolis, they just say, we're 2-0 because we got Jacksonville twice on the schedule. They say, we're 2-0. So we're going to go out and whatever happens. We're 2-0 to start the season. Let's go. And they'd be like, why are you 2-0? Oh, because we got Jags twice. We always beat them. It doesn't matter. We win.
Hey, look, I will hold up my hands and say, I'm not confident about this pick, but I think it's two bad teams.
I think this is the game you should make the challenge game. This is the game you should make a challenge game.
You don't get to decide.
No, you're right. I don't get to decide. But I'm just, but that only leaves two games. It's only this game or Giants-Miami.
Or Dallas-Green Bay.
No, that is that game is off the table. It was vetoed. It's vetoed. You've got Jacksonville. I've got Indy. Let's move on to Chicago, the Windy City, where the Washington Redskins, fresh off that debacle against the Cowboys, travel to Chicago to face the Chicago Bears. Bears are favored by 3.5 points. I like Chicago. I think all of a sudden this team has found new life. Yes, they had a minor hiccup last week against the San Francisco 49ers. Why did they lose? Because their kicker missed a chip shot field goal at the end of regulation, and that would have given them the victory. They went to overtime. They lose the game to San Francisco in overtime, which I just can't believe how that happened. But I think they bounce back, and I think the Chicago Bears will take care of Washington. No way after what happened Monday night do they go into Chicago and beat the Bears.
And the Redskins are 0-5 on the road this season. All five of their wins this season have come at home. They don't go up to Soldier Field with those Arctic conditions and take down Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, and the Chicago Bears.
Snow? Is there going to be snow? I want to see snow.
There may well be snow. It's the right time of year. We're in December. It's going to be cold. You know that for certain.
True.
And Kirk Cousins isn't the most accurate quarterback. He's going to be relying on his running game. I don't know what's been going on in Washington, but it seems to me that Matt Jones now is the lead back there. I just don't see how the Washington Redskins stop the Chicago Bears. And the Redskins have got one of the worst run defenses in the NFL as well. Matt Forte could have a big day here. And if he doesn't, Jay Cutler will. The Bears take this game.
Yeah. So we both have the Chicago Bears. Man, that means just looking at this, this seriously, we've got Buffalo beating Philly. We've got Washington losing to Chicago. And we're split on the Giants-Miami game, which I think Miami's going to win at home. That's just
and you've Green got, Bay and, being the Cowboys.
And you've got Green Bay being the Cowboys. Seriously, it could very well be a 6-10 team coming out of that division. 6-10. 6-10 could win the division. It's not beyond the realm of possibilities.
I'm going to give you a glimmer of hope here, because you've been thirsting for something positive to say about the Dallas Cowboys.
No, I just want you to say something. You're banned, by the way, from wearing any gear. I do not want to look. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call Catherine on Sunday, and I'm going to say, what is Richard wearing? She better not say that you're wearing any Cowboys paraphernalia or any gear. You are banned from the until you get back on and start giving positive vibes towards Dallas. You are not allowed to wear any of that stuff.
At some point or later, you've got to become serious and pragmatic about this, Steve. Now, I will throw you a carrot. This is what happens if the season unfolds whereby the other three teams in the NFC East win one game out of their final four and Dallas somehow win two, which would have to include a final day of the season win over the Washington Redskins, then by virtue of having the advantage in the tiebreaker, Dallas claim the division and go to the playoffs. But that is it. That is their only hope. And quite frankly, I don't see it happening.
7-9, Dallas Cowboys win the division.
Not a chance.
And as the 7-9 Seattle Seahawks did and the 7-8-1 Carolina Panthers did last year, the Dallas Cowboys at 7-9 win the division and win their first playoff game at home. There you go. I just called it. I just threw my shot. Babe Ruth pointing. You see me pointing? Can you see me pointing? That's it. Babe Ruth, I'm calling the shot right there. I just called it.
I tell you what, Planet Steve must be a great place to live.
It is a beautiful place, baby. Anytime you want to come and hang, just come out and hang. It's good stuff. All right. Moving on, the Kansas City Chiefs host the San Diego Chargers. Kansas City fresh off a big win. San Diego with one of their worst performances of the year, with only 3 points against the Denver Broncos. It's got to be tough being a Charger fan right now. What do you see in that one?
Yeah, they've had a host of injuries. It's been a bad season, an unlucky season in many respects for the Chargers. They only scored 3 points last weekend against the Denver Broncos. Fine, they scored 30-odd points in a win over in Jacksonville, but that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are giving up 28 points a game. The week before that, they hosted the Kansas City Chiefs, and again, they were only held to 3 points. Well, if that is what happens in San Diego, what do you think is going to happen this weekend when they travel to Arrowhead Stadium and that volatile atmosphere, the loudest crowd in the whole of football? The Kansas City Chiefs on a 6-game winning streak now. They make it 7 this Sunday.
Chiefs favored by 10. A lot of people might think that's too much. I say take Kansas City and give the points. They will cover with ease. Just, I feel sorry for Philip Rivers. He's got no one, man. All of his guys are out.
I think Philip Rivers has had an outstanding season. The statistics aren't going to reflect that, but he is almost single-handedly, despite all the injuries that they've had to deal with, he's single-handedly pretty much kept them competitive in most games, and it's just finally caught up with them.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I like the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Final game of interest, the New York Jets hosting the Tennessee Titans. Jets fresh off that overtime victory over their New York rival, the New York Giants. Now they've got Tennessee. 7 points they're favored by in this game. Here is what the New York Jets are looking at right now. They stand behind the New England Patriots at 10-2. They're 7-5. Right now, they control their own destiny. They're in the playoff position right now, at least as a wild card. Can they keep winning to lock up that wild card spot?
Well, they can win this game this week, is what I think. The one concern is that I think, well, everybody expected last week that Darrelle Revis would be back, having dealt with a concussion, but he missed a second straight game. And I've looked at the injury report this afternoon. He did not practice again with concussion. So there's got to be severe doubts over his availability for this game. That being said, you look at the mismatch here, and the New York Jets defense are only giving up 20 points a game. They're the fifth-ranked overall defensive unit in the NFL, and to complement that, their offense is firing as well. They rank 11th in the NFL. They're scoring 24, 25 points a game. You've got two wide receiving threats in Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. You've got Chris Ivory running the ball well out of the backfield. Under center, Ryan Fitzpatrick is managing the game well for them. He's giving a cool head, making cool decisions. And you look what he's up against. Yeah, look, I love Marcus Mariota. I think he's had a good rookie season, and he gives the Titans a spark. But he's got nobody to throw to. His leading receiving threat is tight end Delanie Walker. Well, the Jets will cover him. They will generate a pass rush from that front line, and they will get to Mariota on Sunday. The Jets take the win and go to 8-5.
Yeah, I like that as well. Plus, the Tennessee Titans really don't have a threat at running back. They just don't have – they don't scare anybody running the football. I think the Jets will take care of business and will improve to 8-5. Buddy, we've been going for an hour, believe it or not. I know it is way past your bedtime. So for the nap games, I'll state the game, and you just say who's going to win. Are you ready for that?
Okay. Yep.
Here come our nap games. Detroit at St. Louis.
Detroit.
Lions. I got the Lions as well. The New Orleans Saints at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Let's take Winston and the Bucs.
We're going with the Bucs as well. Tampa Bay showing that although they may not be able to make the playoffs, they've got life and they've got a little spark.
Hey, don't rule out Tampa Bay just yet. They're on the edge of the wild card race.
They are.
They could still make it.
They're on the outside looking in right now. Outside looking in. San Francisco at Cleveland.
I'll take the 49ers.
Yeah, I'll
take the 49ers. Back-to-back road wins comes this weekend at the expense of the Browns.
The fact that the Cleveland Browns are now going back to Johnny Manziel, to me, that is the class example of a team and an organization that is in chaos, that is in disarray, that has absolutely no idea what they're doing. If you're going to make a decision a couple weeks ago when McCown goes down and he gets injured, that we are not starting Johnny Manziel. We're starting Austin Davis because we want to make a point to Manziel that you cannot be bad. You have to stay with that decision no matter how bad Austin Davis comes out to the field and only scores you 3 points. The fact that you're going back to Manziel now just shows what a clueless organization the Cleveland Browns are right now. I think San Francisco will take care of business because they're going to get after Manziel. Final game, Seattle at Baltimore.
The Seahawks, and running away with it, quite literally.
Yeah, Baltimore, you've got me believing that just the Ravens don't have a whole lot of anything.
Well, you
know what? They were still they beat Cleveland just a couple weeks ago. Last week, as you said earlier, they just lost by 2 points to Miami. They're still fighting for Harbaugh. You know, they're playing hard for their coach. But when you don't have your number one quarterback and you don't have your number one wide receiver and you don't have your number one running back and you don't have your number one middle linebacker, stick a fork in them, man. They are done.
You have Max Schaub, who's thrown a pick six in an NFL record 5 straight games. And if he is not good to go this weekend, guess who's the next man up? Guess who Harbaugh said today may well see game time and took first team reps? Jimmy Clausen.
Oh, my God. The outcast from Carolina? That Jimmy Clausen?
Do you remember how well he played in relief of Jay Cutler for Chicago at Seattle?
Not good. Not good.
Not good.
So we got Seattle. So there you go, my friend. We only differ on 3 games. I got Miami at home. You've got the Giants. Then you've got Green Bay and Jacksonville at home, while I've got Dallas and Indianapolis. Go ahead. I don't care which one you pick because all 3 of my picks are correct. Knock yourself out.
Right. Get the paramedics on standby again. They're going to need the oxygen for Steve.
Don't make it that game. Don't make it that game. If you make it that game, you are not allowed to wear any gear on Sunday. Is that acceptable? If you make it that game, no gear.
Hey, look.
No gear, Richard Graves.
I am here representing the fans. It's all about just win, baby. And the Green Bay Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys Sunday afternoon in Lambeau Field. I take the Green Bay Packers.
No gear. You are not allowed to wear any gear. You are not allowed to cheer for them. You are not allowed to scream. You are not allowed to want the Dallas Cowboys to win. You, as a matter of fact, don't even think of the Dallas Cowboys this Sunday.
We might need to get a gurney in here for Steve. He's in trouble, guys.
There you go. He is making the Green Bay Packer-Dallas Cowboy game the challenge game. You know what? I have the right mind right now to just change to Green Bay. I should just change to Green Bay.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm going to take Dallas. I'm going to stick with my team. I'm going to go down with my team if I have to. You, sir, you will rule the day. You made this the challenge game. And when I win 4 straight, to take a 4-game lead on the fans, and you're sitting there on Sunday saying, how in the world did they do this? I'm going to be like, because they did it without you. You are not allowed to wear any gear. You are not allowed to cheer. You stay away. And if I get a text from you Sunday night saying, I'm watching this game and I can't believe this, I'll be like, shut up. You're not even cheering. Don't even cheer. Whew, I got to take a breath now. I got to get some water or something.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Richard, as always, it's been a pleasure. Every time we talk, it seems like we're going for 50 minutes, 60 minutes. Thank you for taking that time out. I know you're very busy out there. And I appreciate it. Let us know what you're doing. Is your prediction sheet up already?
It is. Yep. You can go to skysports.com/NFL or go to my Twitter handle at RichardGraves1. There's a link to a preview of all 16 games in week 14 right there. I can't wait. It's been a ball once again. I love coming on this show. It's great talking football with you, Steve. Let's do it again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. That was Richard Graves of Sky Sports News. Go out to skysports.com/NFL and check out his entire write-up for all 16 games. So there you have it, people. One of the longest shows of the season, just because Richard and I went for about 1 hour and 8 minutes talking. Always fun to have Richard Graves on the show. And thank you very much once again, wherever in this great big world of ours that you may be listening to the show, and however you're listening to, either whether you're streaming or downloading the podcast, thank you very much. I'm Stephen Miranda for NFL Rants and Raves, and I, my friends, am out.